Defined as a deficiency of energy, protein, and other nutrients that can cause adverse effects on the body, shape, size, and composition, the way it functions, and clinical outcomes, malnutrition can refer to under- or overnutrition. But in relation to Malnutrition Awareness Week, in this report, we're focusing on those who are undernourished. Most malnutrition here in the UK is disease-related, although some social and mechanical factors can also have an impact, and it's more prevalent than you might think. Joining me to discuss this is Neil McCrenner, a registered dietitian working in North London. To start with, anecdotal evidence suggests a great many of us are unsure as to the role that dietitians play. So could you explain what a dietitian does?
I work with patients with lots of different health conditions. We assess their diets, make sure that they're getting enough nutrients, enough protein, enough calories overall, enough fats, minerals, vitamins. Often people are malnourished, don't even appear that they're malnourished. So we figure out what deficits they are and try and compensate for that.
In this interview, we're looking at disease-related malnutrition. How might we better understand that term?
Malnutrition can happen because of disease and sometimes can be a contributing factor to the disease. Often you might hear that they've been eating the same food, but they're losing weight and they don't know why. It could be skipping meals because they're not hungry. It could be eating smaller quantities of food. And these are all signs that malnutrition might be happening and that they're higher risk. Malnutrition is quite common in older people over 65. It's quite prevalent among people with chronic diseases such as COPD, dementia, Parkinson's disease, people with long-term health conditions. It's actually quite prevalent in a lot of groups, but probably the chronic diseases are the biggest group.
How many people live with disease-related malnutrition?
3 million adults, and it's projected that that's going to increase to 4.75 million by the year 2035, around a 50% increase. And it's also worth noting that actually malnutrition is underreported as well. So these are the people that have been screened by their GP or when they're in hospital. There's many people living in a malnourished state at home, maybe socially isolated, that are not being counted in those numbers.
In your experience, do the national statistics reflect on what you experience locally?
We see a lot of malnutrition. We did a little mini audit of my patients. 1 in 6 were malnourished. People only think that malnourished people are really underweight, when actually malnutrition can happen to people of all weights. So even if someone's overweight or obese, people look at them and they just assume that they couldn't be malnourished because they look like they've got excess weight. But actually that person could have lost 3, 4, 5 kilograms themselves, but they will often get missed. So it's about teaching people to screen everybody, not just the ones that appear thinner or look underweight.
What are the consequences of disease-related malnutrition on the person living with it?
Lack of energy, reduced muscle mass, reduced bone density. So if they ever had a fall, they might take a lot longer to recover. Their immune system will also be impaired too. So if they ever get ill, it might take them a little bit longer to recover. If they end up in hospital, studies have showed that they end up having a longer hospital admission. Their skin can get quite fragile and can break quite easily. So commonly, I see a lot of patients at home and in the GP practices who have pressure sores, maybe on their bottom or on their arms, anywhere where their bone is protruding outwards onto the skin, onto the surface. And they can take a lot longer to heal as well. And also, most importantly, mental health. So if you're not giving your body enough of the nutrients, then it can lead to depression and low mood. And then it's like a vicious cycle. If you've got a low mood and you're not feeling good and you don't have much motivation, then you're not going to eat. And then that's going to just make it worse.
How can someone listening to this interview tell if they or a loved one is living with disease-related malnutrition? And what should we do if we are?
It might not be something as tangible as weighing them and seeing the difference. It could be just noticing that their clothes are a bit looser. They might be wearing jewelry, such as a ring, which is falling off a little bit or coming a bit looser. It could be looking at their skin. It might just look a bit more fragile. Actually, we often see family members or patients who don't even realize that the patient has lost weight because they see them every single day or a few times a day. And it's this gradual weight loss and become accustomed to how somebody looks. And often it is a gradual thing as well. But any of those signs that I just talked about, raising it to one of the healthcare professionals like the GP, the nurse or a healthcare assistant at the practice, they'll be able to assess and we could treat accordingly.
What role do you play in helping people with disease-related malnutrition?
Could be suggesting how to improve their diet. A lot of people might not eat enough fruits and vegetables. They might not be getting enough fiber. Some people could be quite deficient in protein, so we're trying to encourage them to eat more protein-dense foods at each meal to help with their muscle mass. A lot of behavior change. So often people don't really want to change their diets. They've been like that all their lives. But as we get older or we become a bit sicker, often we do need to make changes to our diet.
What resources are available locally?
Your local GP practice, your local pharmacy, you're always going to have resources there. You can also check the NHS website. They've got lots of information on malnutrition. There is an amazing website called malnutritionpathway.co.uk, which is really good. It's got lots of resources, not to mention, of course, the British Dietetic Association. They've got lots of really, really useful food facts, which are quite easy to read, easy to understand, and further information on malnutrition and other conditions that may be involved in malnutrition, such as some we talked about earlier, COPD and dementia and Parkinson's disease.